This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Center for Astrophysics. For the full show and archives, visit jodcast.net.
I'm here with Beth Bridges from Gorilla Archaeology at the Blue Dot Festival. So Beth, could you tell us a little bit more about what Gorilla Archaeology is and what you're doing here at the festival?
Okay, so Gorilla Archaeology is a branch from the Department of Cardiff University. A couple of lecturers got together and decided that probably it was a better idea to try and get the public more involved. So we go around different festivals, we try to do sort of interactive activities with different themes. We did a theme a couple of weeks ago, which is fog bodies, and the theme today is song worshippers and lunatics. Very strong focus on the Bronze Age, but also at how they interpreted their relationship with the sun and the moon. I've got a couple of examples. So I've got the Nebrasky disc, and it's a large bronze plate, and it's got a gold inlay. It's about the size of like a large dinner plate. And it's got a couple of odd shapes on it. We think the central shape, two shapes. One is a crescent moon and one is a full moon. Some people like to argue that the full moon is more a sun, but because the bronze has been deliberately sort of darkened and the other shapes around it may be stars, we like to interpret that it's all moons. So around those shapes are lots of little dots, which are all sort of random. But there are seven that are in a constellation, and they're the seven sisters. This is very important because it told farmers at which point they should harvest their crops or sow their crops. So they used it as like a sign each time it appeared in the sky that this is what they were supposed to do and it was okay to continue. And then at the bottom of this disc is a sort of another crescent, kind of like a banana shape, and we believe this might be a boat. So they kind of had this idea that maybe the sun went under the earth at night, was extinguished and carried by a boat, brought round, and then was reignited or sort of came back to life for dawn. That was carried by a boat, and then we have other examples, which was sun chariots, which was also made from bronze and gold. These are all sort of 3,500 years old, and they were deliberately buried and they were deliberately sort of damaged. So maybe there was a ritual going on to try and sort of capture the magic. We like to say that maybe these images were made because a lot of them were made in Northern Europe where they had shorter days in the winter. Maybe this was their way of asking the sun to come back up so that they could have more hours so that their crops could be healthier and better and that kind of idea. But they may have just been making it because it's past the time of day. Obviously, no internet, no Wi-Fi. There wasn't much else they could do, really. But the pieces of art are amazing. And there's obviously been so much work put into them. Like the Trondhjelm Sky Chariot is an exact replica of an original one. And the gold disc on it has been like lovingly decorated with sort of circles and squiggles. And maybe that's the idea of the sun at midday or like at its brightest point. But the back of the disc hasn't been decorated. So maybe it's an interpretation of day and night and that kind of thing. So
that's really interesting how these like pieces can tell you about people's relationship with the sun and the moon, and like especially as astronomy is such a old part of human culture, actually. Yeah. It's fascinating you can get such insights from, you know, one or two pieces.
Yeah, well, there's also like the hats. Mm-hmm. These are hats sort of, we're not really sure what the material was inside, but outside of it it's gold that's been hammered into shape. They've been found in Germany as well. They're also Bronze Age. And none of them are found in the same area. So it suggests that people are travelling around and suggesting how's the best way to show off either wealth. We think maybe a priest wore them. So they were trying to sort of show off how clever they were. The discs on them are quite interesting because they're supposedly a calendar.
Oh, wow.
There's some sort of formula you can do where you mm-hmm. add up some of the circles and then divide by a number, and it's supposed to give you a certain number which you can sort of associate with the point mm-hmm. of the moon and what it's supposed to look like. So it was all kind of educational, and if priests wore it they could say that they could predict the future. And
that's fascinating. And also, I should describe these as well, because I did not know that there's some models of them here. I did not know that these were meant to be hats at all, because they're kind of tall and thin. I mean, this one I've got in front of me is possibly about half my height, but it's quite narrow, so about
size of my width of my head. These are two sides, which is just bizarre. Like, they aren't even... And then they've got, going round them in, they've got circles repeated all the way round and layers all the way up. So, which is what she's talking about in terms of using them to tell the date and the time, that kind of thing. They are, frankly, bizarre.
They actually survived almost in the state, so you can see the images. They literally survived like this because they were lovingly filled with soil before they were buried in the hope that the sheep would stay and made sure that the tops of them pointed up to the sky still, even though they were in the earth. There was definitely a ritual going on whilst they buried them. They're just very strange.
Yeah.
But they're absolutely amazing. They look beautiful, so...
No, that's absolutely fascinating. So you were saying that guerrilla archaeology goes to lots of different festivals. What kind of other things have you also run?
So they're about to go to Wilderness. They did Luna last year. They've just been to Glastonbury as well. And then there's the Green Man Settlers Festival also. And we'll be at all of them. We've got different themes. So like I mentioned, we did bog bodies. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about hair and makeup and how they changed their skin. So tattoos. Because bog bodies and people who are frozen are the only people that we can find that still have hair. So we can learn hairstyles from them. So it turns out like certain knots for men meant that they were better in combat or whatever. You know how we expect men to have shorter hair nowadays? Well, no, they were supposed to have really long hair so they could show off all their elaborate styles. And then we also spoke about ochre and how they would decorate their faces. We spoke also about tattoos, because some of them survived and some of the ice men, so like Ötzi, it looked like some of his tattoos were on places where he had osteoporosis, so maybe he was trying to do it as like a healing process, or maybe there was just a sort of a map of where he'd been, because he had obviously travelled a lot. Who was Ötzi? Oh, he was an ice man. He was found up in the Alps. And 5,000 years old, I believe.
Wow.
Yes. And he was buried almost like, he sort of buried himself ritualistically. So he laid out all his weapons around him, and he was perfectly preserved. So.
Wow, that sounds like a gold mine for an archaeologist.
Exactly what we wanted when we found that. And there's a couple of others around the world, but they're not commonly found. So we're trying to make all these assumptions from very small pieces of information about the civilizations that were really quite large. Mm-hmm. So we like to try and throw information at people and see if they can bounce back and say, well, what do you think? And we can stand there and go, yeah, maybe that's one way to interpret it. So this is the reason why we think it.
No, I love that, and I love that you see public engagement as this two-way process, rather than just scientists kind of going, here is what we know, it's you know, you also take something away from it.
Yeah, absolutely, we're always wanting to get information back. So some of the things like the sky chariot, the idea of pulling the sun across the sky and back under the earth, that can be found in Egyptology, that can find Greek mythology, Roman mythology, and so many people know more about that kind of civilization, we like to have some more information bounced back at us.
No, that's fantastic. Well, thank you for talking to us at the Jodcast today. I hope you enjoy the rest of the festival.
Thank you very much.